Hi there and welcome to a brand new episode of Clan Chat, another chance to catch up with a former Clan player and find out what they're up to. Joining us for the next little while is, well, one familiar face, at least top left-hand corner, there he's there, it's Jerry McLaughlin. Jerry, how are you getting on this week?
Yeah, really good, Craig. Today, I've discovered something new to kind of keep my spirits up during the whole kind of extended lockdown and stuff. I've discovered moisturiser that gives you a little bit of a tan, because I was looking very pasty on these things, so I've given myself a little bit of colour, so we can expect to see Clan Tan being marketed pretty soon over lockdown. A brand new product for all Clan fans.
Keep your eye on the Clan online shop for that one. Kevin unable to join us. Kevin unable to join us tonight. He is hopefully can get on at some point, but we'll also wait and see. But I said a former Clan player in the intro. This player, as you can see in the bottom, was very much a current player until the pandemic hit, which has led to the Elite League suspended for the season and the reason why you're looking at our ugly mugs every week. So, 2 years with the Clan between 2018 and 2020, a key part of the team's built by Pete Russell and Zach Fitzgerald, and immensely popular with the Purple Army. Now with Esbjerg, am I right? Have I said that right, Raz? I never get
this. Esbjerg. I don't think you'll be able to.
I'm rubbish with accents. So, will the story continue in Glasgow when we can play again? Who knows? Please welcome number 16, the man known as the Great Dane, primarily by me, to be fair. It's Rasmus Bjerrum. Raz, thanks for joining us on the show. How's Zoom working out for you so far? You've just downloaded it. This is your first time at it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just figured it out 5 minutes before we got this turned on, and I could hear you guys' voices, but I didn't even know how to turn on the camera, so I think we're good now.
Excellent.
Yeah, looking good.
Yeah, you figured it out quite quickly. Good for you. So the good news is Jerry's our in-house specialist. He helped another one of our former players a few weeks back, Stefan Meyer. It was his first time as well. Jerry was on hand to help him out, so there you go.
Yeah, I think, Stefan's essentially a farmer, so I think he had the hand crank out at the side of the thing, you know, winding up the electricity. Yeah, he's great, man. Craig's just showing off because he likes to host this thing from his observatory in East Kilbride. I think the Craig Anderson Sky Centre in East Kilbride.
I'm in the Ayrshire.
Moved. I didn't want all the fans standing outside your house, Craig. I was looking after you there.
Well, I also discovered a light bulb as well, and we've got better lighting tonight, so that's quite good. Well, I don't
you've
know
got a cheat. Get a cheat given Misey stick, and you've just discovered electricity.
You've not been to my part of Ayrshire. Anyway, as I said, Rasmus, you and I spoke last week. You spoke to me for a piece I did for the Herald, and you were telling me about what the last 8 months have been like for you. Just give us a recap of how it's been like since March when the season shut down, and well, we ended up where we are now.
Yeah, like I told you, we actually planned to stay in Scotland after the season to travel around because my first year there, we did a lot of traveling, but with my daughter being so young, we didn't get to do much that second season. So we planned out after the season, we would travel around for a little bit. And then suddenly that one day at practice, we were told it was cancelled, and I was like, that's fine, I'll just stay here. And then, like, the day after, we were told, like, get out of here as soon as possible. So suddenly we just had to leave really quickly, and it was a mess with flights getting home, and flights got cancelled and all that stuff. So luckily we got home, I think it was the 4 or 5 days after we were told. Mm-hmm. And when we got home, Denmark was in a worse stage than Scotland at that time. So they were already on a lockdown. So I hadn't seen family or friends. And yeah, like I had some visits, but like for a long time, but we couldn't really see anyone. So we were just isolated those 2 first weeks. And like, my family, they weren't not even allowed to get inside. So it was kind of weird. And then actually it started going really well in Denmark and things got almost back to normal and gyms open. So we just trained as we usually do in the summer and it felt normal. But then the second wave hit, and right now it's actually, we're only allowed 10 people at private and we're not allowed fan only 350 fans at our games and stuff. So it's not bad. I think it's worse where you guys are, but it's not the normal world we know.
I saw that, Raz, that you had, like, there's just a few hundred fans at games. What's that like, you know, when you've been playing in front of 3,000 fans regularly, all shouting and going crazy, to suddenly playing in front of like 10% of that?
Yeah, obviously it's not the same. Like, you don't feel the atmosphere. But I will say, after a few games, it's just, we get used to it, and we're just really lucky compared to you guys. And it's like, we are allowed to play, so... Yeah. You just get used to that's how it is, and like, we're just happy to play, and it is what it is, and there's not much to do about it. So actually, our first home game, we were allowed 2,000 fans, and then on that day, the government put out the restrictions back on 500, so the league actually thought they were allowed to play for 50% capacity, and then the first round, we were told back to... those 350.
And can I ask you, Raz, did you win that first game?
Actually, we lost in overtime.
All right, okay. So it's not a conspiracy. I was just wondering if, you know, like, we've got to do something about these guys in Espia.
Yeah, no way. I think we lost in overtime. It's almost a couple months ago now, so.
Wowzers. What's it like being back in your hometown? Because Espia is where you're born and where you're from, and you played for that team, and your brother played for that team, and your dad played for that team as well, didn't he? I think
that was my next question. Yeah,
sorry, Pete. this is why you need to get rid of me every couple of weeks.
I played here my first years as a pro. I was just like a young guy getting a little bit of ice time here and there, but. I think it's 9 seasons I was away, but like, I'm in Espia every summer, and I know a lot of guys who play for the team and around the club, and it's a lot of the same people. So it was pretty easy to get back into the team. And then outside ice hockey, it's especially with having a kid now, it's fun to be so close to family, like when you're used to a call like this, then that's nice about it. But I also miss like being in another country and exploring other things than what I've been seeing and doing my whole life. But so there's pros and cons about being home.
So what is it you miss most about Glasgow so far? You've had 2 years over here. You've really bought into the culture and everything. What is it you miss most about living in the west of Scotland?
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I just really enjoyed everything there. I like Glasgow as a city, and I love playing for the Clan, and the home games were fun. And just like the whole living situation there is really nice, where there's a lot of local guys, and then there's a few imports. So it's more split, where I feel like in Glasgow, there's, Haywood obviously is there every year, Peaks maybe, but it's everybody comes from outside. So the team just has each other. So it makes like a strong group. And it's like, it's almost like a family away from home. So like living in that area, and it's just, the whole situation. And then I also enjoy like exploring Scotland, and I like the nature and all that stuff. So just the whole experience for me, I really enjoyed.
Russ, did you notice a difference in the 2 years that you've played with the team? And I know, like, I actually know both years there's a good team spirit generally, but did you notice a difference at the start of this season? Because it really seemed like, I mean, under Pete's team, there was a really good team spirit throughout the season. Uh-huh. And I know we had a bad, you know, a tough run this year. But I tell you what, see the start of the season, like, see the camaraderie amongst the players and stuff at the start of this season seemed really fantastic, particularly good. I don't know if you felt there was any kind of difference, if you felt that yourself in the dressing room.
No, like, sorry. Like, it was still the same, like, core group of players. And we actually started the second season so well. Like, we had that winning run. So everything was, like, just overly like fun, and like the group was like it was good group both years. So I won't say like it was worse the second year because we didn't have the same results. I still think everybody enjoyed coming to the ring and being a part of that group.
Yeah, I think it almost seemed better though. The second year almost seemed like it was a fantastic core group, and it was there was a big rebuild that year of which you were part of. Yeah. And then you're right, like it said, like there was, you know, more people added to it the second year just gone. It really did seem like, even through the tough times, it seemed like the team held together really well, because it was a tough run.
I don't think the team chemistry was ever, I don't know. Yeah. I talked briefly with Craig about it last week. I can't tell you why we didn't do better, because I still believe we had a really good team and we tried, and like good chemistry and everything. It's just, I don't know if it was mental because we went into a bad run and then we were afraid of losing, or I don't know. We didn't know, and I guess that's why we kept losing, because we couldn't really fix it even though we tried like a bunch of different things.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, I mean, you took the league by storm. I mean, people around the whole Elite League was like, what's going on up in Glasgow? This team is really serious. It's got depth. It's got a little bit of everything. Speed, scoring. It's got a camaraderie. It's got toughness. Yeah. And what happened? I don't know if you feel maybe this contributed to it, but a lot of the other teams changed their teams. I mean, there's a lot of the big teams at the top, you know, had a look at Clan and went, whoa, right, so that's what we need to do. And the personnel changed significantly.
Do you feel teams
played differently against us after that, after getting a good look?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure really about that. It's like I said, I don't know what happened or why we didn't do better. But I didn't notice a difference in playing the other teams or in our team. Right. I just feel like we got into our own heads because everybody really wanted to win, and maybe sometimes we wanted it too much, and then mistakes came in and we were like, oh, 10 minutes left, we can't make mistakes, instead of just keep playing the way we were playing and being confident in that. So I think maybe confidence and just the mental part was a big part of what happened. That's the only explanation I can think of.
That kind of brings me nicely onto what I was going to ask you a little bit later. We may as well get to it now. Was your relationship with Zach Fitzgerald, and again, referring back to the article you did with me last week, you spoke of your admiration for him, the fact that you went from playing with him in the first season under Pete to him being your coach in the second season. What was it about Fitzy? I mean, we've all seen Fitzy off the ice, one of the loveliest guys you'll meet. But when you're in the locker room with him, what is it that makes you want to run through a brick wall, if I can borrow that cliche? What is it about him that you want to just do everything for him?
I don't know what it is. Like you said, you know Fitzy as well, and he just takes up the room. Like, you really feel his presence when he's there. And there's just something about him, like energy and character. He's a character. I barely met anybody like him before, and like even doing like bowling with the fans, you look two alleys away and you can hear him like the whole bowling alley is just laughing and giving high fives and all that stuff. So I don't know, he's just takes up a lot of space, like in a good way, and he's just a good fun character to be around.
Now, going back to when you first signed, and bearing in mind you'd played your whole career in Denmark up until you came to Glasgow, and you spoke of how much you love Glasgow since you came over. So what lured you away from Denmark? What was it about the Elite League and coming to the UK that made you decide, no, I'm gonna go there rather than stay at home and play?
My last season before I came to Glasgow was my fifth year in Odense in Denmark. And that was a place I really... I loved playing there as well, and the city and everything, but 5 years in a row and playing in Denmark my whole life, we only have like 10 ice rinks and there's only a certain amount of players. So I knew everybody on every team and our team, and I just felt like I needed a breath of fresh air, and I just knew this was going to be my last season in Denmark, and I really wanted to experience a different culture, a different league, just to like, not only hockey wise, but also like just for the personal aspect, just meet some new people, get out of my comfort zone and all that. So it was just, I just wanted the experience of seeing something else than what I'd seen my whole life.
A little bit, you, Jerry, that cough's worrying me. What about you?
I was just thinking that. I was going, how long did you isolate for?
Don't worry, we get tested every week here. That's a part of us playing. So I actually got tested today. Haven't got the result, though, but I should be.
Whoa, we should do that live on Clan Chat next week. Raz opens his test results. This is like, well, live this is new modern test. Entertainment.
No, so luckily our team hasn't been hit so far, but actually a few teams have been hit of our opponents, and they made a rule to so the league keeps going. They make a rule if there is more than 7 players positive, the game just ends in a draw, and it's 1.5 points per team. Wow.
Is that already having a big impact already, or is it being made like calls?
Like Herlev, a team in Denmark, they I think they set out 3 or 4 games with that, and we were supposed to play there, and we just got 1.5 points, and the game is noted as played, but we never really played it. It's just so it's not like a team's played 5 games and then another team 15, and then you would have to catch up later. So they just want the league to roll. Yeah. To a normal season, and that's
just get through it. Yeah, that's because it's close as well, isn't it? You're up near the top of the table as well, and so those points make a big difference. You know, if you're not getting the opportunity to take them, I think you've got a couple of games in hand, a few points behind at the top.
Yeah,
So it's close.
Actually, there's something like you have Challenge Cup in UK. Mm-hmm. We have something called Final Four to make the regular season more interesting in the beginning. After the first 2 rounds, you meet every team. The top 4 teams, they meet for 1 weekend, kind of like playoff weekend, and play for a trophy there. And Frederick,
mid-season?
I think it's in January or February.
Oh, right, yeah.
But we made it, like, the top 4 after 16 games made it. But Frederikshavn was in that race. And then the Northern Jutland, the part of Denmark they're in, they canceled.
That's your brother's team, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And they were not, people were not allowed to get into that part of Denmark. So they just got those 1.5 points for, I think it ended up only being 2 games, but they were in that race. So it was kind of out of their own hands. So that was but every team agreed on it before the season. So
how did your brother feel about that?
Yeah,
were you talking to him about it? Was he feeling pretty bitter about it?
Nah, there's not much to say because other teams had already been through it. It's just like bad luck, I guess. And who knows if it even benefited them with the 1.5 points? Nobody knows. True. But I think they would have enjoyed to at least be in their own hands.
Have you played against Frederikshavn? Have you played against your brother? Then I guess you'll have played already, haven't you?
Yeah, we played them 3 times already. We actually
played last week
up there last night.
Week.
Yep, last week.
How did that go?
We won 4-3.
Yeah, is there a good rivalry between you and your brother when it comes to the games? I mean, obviously you've been out in the country for a few years.
Yeah,
is there?
It's always no private, but it's a fun rivalry, not a bad one. It's not like I'm trying to break his neck or anything, but obviously I want to beat him. And
I'd like to hear from the younger brother. It's all right with the older brother. He's got more points in the league saying it's a fun rivalry. I'd like to hear what Frederick's going to say about this.
It was interesting because you got an assist in that game last week, Raz, but Frederick wasn't playing. Has he been out injured recently?
I might as well just say it. I didn't know if I would bring it up, but he actually signed a 3-month contract because he also wanted to leave Denmark. So it was tough to get a contract in the beginning. So he signed 3 months with an option to leave. So say UK started, he could have signed in UK in December, like the date you originally thought you were starting in. So he had that option in his contract. But then now with everything that happened, it actually turned out that they opted him out doing that break. Because, I don't know how well you enter the market now, but there's just so many players. So, So right now, it's a big advantage for the clubs. But back when he signed it, he thought it was going to be an advantage for him. So right now, he's actually not playing anywhere.
Oh, that's a shame, man. Yeah, it's such difficult times, isn't it? Really difficult.
Yeah. But
there's going to be a league stop starting all over the place. I mean, you literally just never know.
No,
what's going to happen at the moment? It's crazy. Like things could start. You never know.
Well, so that's what happened.
Well, I've got a question here from a fan, and just when we're talking about Frederick, it's Gus McCabe on Twitter has asked. Where is it? I've lost it. Oh, right. Are you coming back? And will you bring your brother next year? So, nice and direct.
Well, I'll put it like this. I would like to come back, but like I also told you last time we spoke, it's such uncertain times right now. So you have to put everything into perspective. I can't say I'm coming back in August because nobody knows what the world looked like or what the situation is, or my situation or the club's situation. So, but I would say I love playing there, and I would also love to come back in the future. And,
Good answer.
That's about half a dozen questions.
I would love to play with my brother too. So it would be really fun to, because I want him to explore it as well. I told him that a lot of times.
I spoke to your brother.
Teaching him Scottish.
Yeah.
I remember I spoke to your brother last year. You were kind enough to put me in touch with him when he was playing with Suna Yiska last year. They were playing against Nottingham Panthers in the Continental Cup. And I remember him saying that something he would like to do maybe later in his career at some point. So, let's hope he gets himself sorted out soon.
I think he actually was looking into it this year. But then, like I said, everything happened. And that's also why he wanted that thing when he signed there, because he was hoping to get the opportunity to leave. Like I told you, then now 3 months later, it's actually hurt himself to have that.
It's crazy, isn't it? People are looking for budget cuts and stuff. Yeah. And it could be an easy one to do. That's crazy. Yeah. There's another Clan player over there as well, former Clansman, isn't there? Mike Hammond. So signed in Odense.
He's
at a point of game as well at the moment. Of course, your old stomping ground.
He's playing under Mark Lefebvre, who is the former Dundee coach.
So he is. That's right. How's he getting on? Well, he's a point of game as far as I saw. I mean, he's always been great at scoring goals.
But we know him. He was in Manchester my first year. I actually think maybe he won the league that year in scoring. So, he's a really dangerous player. And I think I played him once or twice already. He's a good player, and I think he's going to keep scoring for them.
He's a point of game at the moment. Yeah, he's done really well. But they need it at the bottom of the table, aren't they, I think, at the moment. So
It's
tough to judge, isn't it, though?
The last few seasons, they've been a low-budget team. So they have, a few really good players, but I don't think they'll be in it for the long run. I don't think they have the depth for it.
Yeah.
Jenny, you're here, obviously. Let's put one to you. Raz has been here the last couple of years, and the amount of tweets that I've seen from people who were delighted that Raz was coming on the show. You speak to fans quite a lot. You know, give us an idea of just how popular Raz is among the Purple Army.
Yeah, I think Raz became really popular very quickly. I mean, you clicked very, very early doors with the club, but I think particularly this last season, and being on the line with Nolan and with Chad, I think something really kind of special happened with you guys. I think the three of you guys formed one of our most successful looking lines that we've ever had. One of my favorite lines I've seen at the club, and there's some really great lines have been at the club. But I think even early on in pre-season, you guys found each other. And I've always wanted to ask you, actually, what do you think was the catalyst for that? Because personally, I feel like Chad Rowe was a very underestimated player from the fan base. Yeah. I don't think people saw how he was bringing you guys in, the energy of you and Nolan to the most effect.
I think, you said, it's one of the most personal fun. I love playing on that line. I had so much fun playing there. like you said, I think Rao was really underestimated because he was a really, really smart player. And I think he was seeing everything, and then he had me and Nolan like bringing energy and all that. Yeah. And then he was just good at making like passes out of nowhere and like just using us. So, and Nolan was, he was like really good at winning puck battles and had a good shot. And so I just think it was like three different players, but also like with similar style of how we wanted to play. So I just think it clicked really well because we brought like different aspects to the line.
It seemed to have like a little bit of everything, you know, like you had enough grit, you know, you had people that were battling corners, but you also had speed. And then you also had, I mean, the puck retention that Chad brought to that, and then distribution really made the most out of you guys, because you were already there. And I just thought that sometimes it seems to take a lot of time for people to have that understanding. And I just wondered how you guys managed to develop it. You seem to have that lovely sixth sense quickly.
It's just sometimes you, like, obviously you play with a lot of people through the career, but sometimes it's just, you just have you just feel a connection. You can't really describe how it is, but I just kind of had a feeling of if Nolan or Chad had the puck, I kind of knew what they were doing, and probably the other way around. And that was early on, like from almost day one, it just felt natural to play with them, where sometimes it takes months for you to like work out patterns from your line mate to see, okay, if I got it behind the net, he usually gets open there, or where it felt pretty natural. And I think that's also what made it successful.
It was a great to get back to what you said, actually, Craig, more specifically about Raz. Like, I think what the fans really loved about you, one is like your speed and energy that you play with. I think all fans want to see that. They want to see someone who wants to just, you know, go to the goal, as it were. But the kind of goals that you would score as well, it's like, it's times where we needed a goal. You can tell when you go out on the ice, you fancy yourself to score. And I think that's what people love about it. And you scored some big goals for us as well. I'm thinking about the ones in Sheffield as well. Some really classy goals, difficult goals against top goaltenders. And I think the fan base obviously massively appreciate that. And the fact that you and your family seem to have taken to Glasgow, I think always is going to appeal to the fan base. That's what they want to know, is you care about our team as much as we do. So that's huge. So much appreciated.
You mentioned the goals there, Jerry. That was one of my next questions, actually, Raz. You've scored something like 40 goals for the clan over your 2 years. Is there any that stand out for you, goals that you've particularly enjoyed scoring? Maybe not necessarily the style of goal, but maybe the importance of it. Is there something that stands out?
I will say, like that one Sheffield game, I think it was in the beginning of the second season. Like my first period, I think I had two goals and two assists. So that that game I remember really well. Then actually my last game for the clan, I scored that overtime winner in Dundee, which was huge in that playoff race. So that was one of the better ones as well.
That game, I'm glad you mentioned that game. What did Fitzy say to you guys? What did he say? Because he seemed really annoyed. What did Fitzy say to you guys that game?
Remember
what I said about swearing?
Did we start being up 3-0, or were we down 3-0 or something?
We were down 3-0. I think that's what it was.
I think he probably changed the, like, he was like, okay, this is a really big game, we gotta go now. Then we came back and we got that opportunity in power play and overtime, and it just felt like, it felt really, really great, because it was just also a relief, because it was a long tough battle, because it was actually fun to be a part of, because like in that end of the season, we just had to win it was so important, every game. So so it was always something to play for. Like if you sitting safe in fifth or sixth, it wasn't the same. So it was just like one of those. It felt like you scored a really big goal. So that's one of my favorite ones.
I know it's hard to sort of say, Raz, but do you think, like, looking back on that game and even the game before, like, the performances were kind of, it felt like it was starting to kind of click again.
Yeah.
It just wasn't quite getting there. And that game felt so big because you suddenly find yourself so far behind. Yeah. But to show that kind of grit, and that team's always kind of done that, even at the start when they were winning, you always kind of fancied you guys to score. And that looked like it was coming back. Do you feel like, and I know we'll never know, but do you feel like it did feel like that momentum was going and that push would have been there? Because it felt like it to us.
I think it really showed the care. Like, we didn't want to get, like, we, like I said, I think everybody really wanted it. I think we showed in that game that, like, we really cared about making that playoff run. And Craig asked me, like, last week too, if I thought we were gonna make the playoffs, and there is no doubt in my mind. As I really believe we would make in that, and who knows what happens when you get that far.
Well, the best thing is, you know, that team knew that you beat everyone. You could beat everyone. Exactly, you've done it already this season. That was already in the head. There was no one. Yeah. And if you just get that together, you can do it, except for Guildford.
they were kind of far.
We wouldn't mention it. I
don't know what it was, but my 2 years in Glasgow, they were not our favorite opponent for some reason.
Very much our bogey team. Something needs to change. Good for them.
Right, just before we start to wrap things up, one more question from a fan. Hope Burke, I mean, I asked you about goals. Hope's asking for favourite memories from being on the team. You've mentioned a couple already. Is there any other big moments in your 2 years that kind of stand out for you? We'll talk amongst ourselves, Jerry.
Let me think here. there's lots of great memories, but off the hand, I can't really think of...
Did you like the inductions? Cup. The clan induction? The judge cup?
The what inductions?
The clan inductions. Player inductions are usually quite interesting. You've been through two of them now, and we welcome everyone in to the club. That's always an interesting experience.
I've heard about
the bond.
The ones... the first one where we go out, or...?
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, there's a nice moment for you.
Yeah,
get to bond,
like,
quickly.
It's I'll just say, like, just everything. Like, I can't really think of one particular favorite moment right now. I'm sure after this ends, I'll probably think, why didn't I say that? But yeah, sorry.
There we go. Well, we'll start to wrap things up now. We'll get to one or two other things just as we go. Clan Classics game this week is on Saturday, and it sees the Clan take on Edinburgh Capitals. That was a game that took place in 2017, so join in and get involved with that. Saturday, 7 p.m. on the Glasgow Clan YouTube channel. Shut off the back and 50-50 tickets are available and on sale. Look out for links on those on the Clan social media channels. Jerseys up for grabs this week are, Jerry, off the top of your head?
Oh, I don't know now. That's it's the special edition 10th anniversary jerseys. So I don't know what we're on now. They're all in Gareth's flat, so we need to call Gareth.
Well, it's Bruce Richardson, Stephen Meyer and Nolan Laporte. I just wanted to see if you knew. Speaking of jerseys, the Together We Clan jerseys are going well so far. Just how well are they going, Jerry?
Fantastic. I think on the first night, I had an absolute deluge of orders straight away. And Raz, you might have noticed that your player sponsor, Asprey, has become the off-season title sponsor of the Clan. So I know John Strange Asprey was delighted that you're going to be chatting to us this week. So I've also to get your address, because I think they want to send you and the family a little care package.
So if I can get your address,
we're going to send you something over. So it's been great. The Together We Clan campaign continues. The fans have been amazing.
Say hi to them.
It's been amazing.
Say hi
to
John and Nicky.
Excellent.
I will do. I'm sure they're watching now.
One other reminder, previous editions of Clan Chat are also available on audio podcast form. So get those by going to your podcast provider and searching for Glasgow Clan, and you'll find them all there. Just have a bit of a catch up with these. So I decided just to fire them up one a day at 8 o'clock in the morning. So look out for those. So with that, we'll leave you to enjoy the rest of your weekend. Jerry, thank you as always for coming on. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here. Really good to see you, Raz. Love to the family. Hopefully see you soon.
Thank you.
And Raz, best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully.
Thank you.
Hopefully. And I speak on behalf of all the Purple Army. We'll hopefully see you back in purple next year.
Yeah. We'll see.
In the meantime, take care, Purple Army. Stay safe, wear a mask, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.